I must confess, Mr. President, that I did not expect, when I was first invited to take part in this debate, to find two such gentlemen as are visiting, opposing, proposing speakers to be in support of this motion. That two such people should support the Goldwater Standard at a time when that particular currency has been particularly devalued since last November is something which I find very perplexing and surprising indeed. And I must say to this House, Mr. President, that any motion that can unite an apostle of racial absolutism with an apostle of economic absolutism must, in my view, clearly be wrong. Particularly when they are joined together to defend a thesis propounded by a man who voted both against civil rights and anything remotely suggestive of socialism. This seems to me to take cynicism almost to the point of absurdity. The two visiting proposing speakers tonight have at least one thing in common. Neither is appearing under his own name. One has a pseudonym which has apparently been plundered from the Gaelic poets. And another has a pseudonym which has apparently, or may well have been, plagiarized from the works of Kafka. Their cooperation, I suggest to the House, is entirely temporary. It is somewhat similar to the friendship which grew up between Lord Holland and Mr. Selwyn. Lord Holland, you will remember, said on his deathbed to his servant, "Should Mr. Selwyn call, show him up. If I'm still alive, I'll be pleased to see him. And if I'm dead, he'll be delighted to see me." Mr. McDermott writes in a dead language as though it were English, and in English as though it were a dead language. Mr. X enunciates policies that his countrymen understand only too well. He is North America's leading exponent of apartheid. Liberty to him means racial segregation. Liberty to Mr. McDermott means the enlightened policies of Mr. Brezhnev. But I think I should make it plain to the House that I, for one, at least believe that neither Mr. Brezhnev nor his predecessor could conceivably have supported this motion. There's nothing particularly extremist about the concept of coexistence. Indeed, it is true, I think, to say that the international leaders of the party that Mr. McDermott has come to support have grown daily more moderate, more traditionalist, more conservative. Yeah, yeah. Indeed, speaking as a conservative, perhaps I may say that even now, their method of choosing a leader certain distinct resemblances. Indeed, an urbane correspondence between Mr. Brezhnev and Mr. Khrushchev has recently come to my attention. And with your permission, sir, I will read out to you the letter which Mr. Brezhnev wrote to Mr. Khrushchev in accepting his resignation. My dear Nikita, I have known for some time of your wish to return to private life. Some months ago, you told me you desired to give way to a younger man. I feel that the time has come when we can no longer impose on yourself your sense of duty and self-sacrifice. I know that you will not be able to get about as much in the future. As you have in the past. Indeed, I am advised that you may not be able to leave your house again. I'm sure, however, that you will be glad to know that we have set in motion the customary processes of consultation from which your successor will emerge. Well, I think that it is quite clear that our friends in the Kremlin, at least, are not in support of this motion. You can be perfectly certain that every individual person will have his own particular qualified view as to what liberty is about. Extremism, in fact, inevitably involves a form of extreme behavior in return. And what you are seeing in South Africa, in southern Rhodesia, in Ghana, what you saw before the war in Nazi Germany and in the fascist countries, what you have seen in the years between 1945 and now in Eastern Europe, you have seen what has happened when people have taken up the cause of extremism in what they think is in defense of liberty. And you have seen in all these countries what has happened to the unfortunate victims of this pernicious philosophy. And therefore I say, extremism in this form is bound to be wrong. We have seen it proved wrong in all these instances. The moderate society is a society to which we must work. Conciliation is the weapon that we must use. And we must not be fooled by demagogues, by tyrants, or by speechwriters. Speechwriters for discreditable causes into blinking, into allowing our eyes to be blinkered as to what the deep, true, and crucial nature of this moral problem is.